Let's Face the Issues is a daily broadcast ministry of First Conservative Baptist Church with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Dr. Youngblood is also the founder, president of Conservative Theological University. Let's Face the Issues broadcast deals with real issues facing our culture today from a biblical perspective. God created three institutions, the home, government, and the church. Therefore, any issue that is harmful or has a negative impact on either of these institutions will be carefully dealt with and confronted from a biblical worldview. Too often, good people are afraid to confront serious issues that are attacking the church, the home, and Christians. We must stand against the enemies of the family and the church. Tune in each day for another broadcast of Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Here is Dr. Youngblood with Let's Face the Issues.
Thank you so much, ladies and gentlemen. We're so delighted to have you on board today. We're looking forward to our journey through a discussion that I believe should challenge each of us to analyze our relationship to the Lord and whether or not we're destined for heaven. We'll be talking about today, will all people go to heaven? Where is heaven? What is heaven? How do you get to heaven? Why is it important for us to talk about heaven? We'll be talking about those things today in this broadcast. Let me remind you, you can dial 831-0917, 831-0917. Your telephone call gets you directly through to the studios and right to our microphones so that we can have this dialogue and discussion together today. Perhaps you've got serious questions about heaven, whether or not you're going to heaven. Do you know for sure that you're going to heaven? How do you get there? What do you need to do to make sure and do the preparation now? Ladies and gentlemen, as we face the issues, let me remind you, we do so based on the authority of the Word of God. A lot of folks that will talk about denomination and rites and rituals and rules and regulations or some philosophical bent or ideological political position and make their determination on what they need to do and how they need to respond based on some of those things. But may I remind us, the greatest thing we can do is depend on truth. And the truth book is the Word of God, the Bible. It is the inspired, infallible, inerrant Word. It doesn't change. God doesn't change. What He said throughout the Bible is applicable today in our lives. And as we face the issue, we need to go to that truth book. Jesus talked about it when He spoke to His disciples in John 8, 31 and 32, where Jesus said to them, "If you continue in My Word, then you're My disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth. The truth shall make you free." And then in John 14, 6, Jesus says, "I am truth." It's a pretty tall order. That's a pretty direct statement. I am truth. And then the question may be asking, as it was in the 17th chapter of John, and Jesus said in John 17, 17, "Thy word is truth." The Word of God from Genesis 1, 1 through Revelation 22 is truth. It's not part truth. It doesn't just lead to truth. It is truth. In the totality of truth. Truth is something that most do not want to talk about today. Multitudes reject truth out of hand. But may I remind you, as George Orwell said a number of years ago, the further a society drifts from the truth, the more it will hate those who speak it. And that's exactly what we see taking place today. By the way, at this juncture, let me just tuck in a little footnote. I believe that today and tomorrow will be the last of the impeachment hearings, the false, phony, fake trial of our president, but we still need to pray for him. But what we need to pray is that God will give truth, that will reveal truth, that truth will be preeminent and primary in the end result of what takes place. It is my prayer that they will find him innocent and will be able to see our president continue to carry out what I believe God has divinely intervened and placed him in office for. But ladies and gentlemen, when we talk about truth, I am thrilled with an elongated statement, a quote from Jan Hus, 15th century reformer and theologian. Jan Hus said this, "Faithful Christians seek the truth, listen to the truth, learn the truth, love the truth, tell the truth, live the truth, defend the truth, even to death." And may I use that as our mantra and encouragement for you today. There are a lot of folks that will reject what you say if you stand on truth. There's some that may not even like you because you stand on the truth or speak the truth or love the truth. But nevertheless, we need to stand for truth and defend it even to death. That's a wonderful, I believe, journey that we could take in the life and living that we're in today. Let me remind you, ladies and gentlemen, this portion of today's broadcast is sponsored by Tools for Time. Tools for Time is an outdoor power equipment dealership company specializing in turnkey business packages for individuals looking to own your own landscape or lawn care business. Tools for Time carries the homeowner brands like Honda and Echo. They carry a full line of Honda and Echo for both the homeowner and the professional landscaper. Tools for Time also carries the hurricane preparedness equipment. They've got a full line of Honda generators with a knowledgeable staff that can answer all your questions about power equipment and the backup generation equipment. Tools for Time is located at 11291 Old St. Augustine Road. 11291 Old St. Augustine Road. That's right at the intersection of I-295 and Old St. Augustine Road. Find the gigantic flag flowing there, all glory flying in the air. At the base of that gigantic flagpole, you'll find Tools for Time. ToolsForTime.com, ToolsForTime.com. Ladies and gentlemen, let me invite you to worship with us this Sunday. We have the Bible study hour at 9:30. We have the morning worship at 10:45. The evening worship at 7 o'clock. Yes, we still have evening worship services. I realize that many people find so many things to do in life that they do not focus on so often, do not focus on the need for additional spiritual nourishment, as the old-timers used to call it, with the services, two services on Sunday and one service on Wednesday. There are some churches that have cut out the Wednesday night service. They've cut out the Sunday night service. They have about a 45-minute to one-hour rock and roll service and then a sermonette for Christianettes. That's not who we are. So if you're looking for a church, ladies and gentlemen, where you can worship and where you can have gospel music that you can understand the words, and you're looking for a church where you can have the Word of God exposed and expounded upon verse by verse and chapter by chapter, we'd love to have you with us. We've just started our journey after many, 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 many years of doing this. We've just started our new journey going through the book of the Revelation. We'll be in Revelation chapter 2, verse 8 and following. We'll be dealing with the popular church. I'd love to have you come and visit with us. We've met you on the air. We'd love to meet you in person. So let me encourage you, 9:30 a.m. Bible study hour, 10:45 a.m. worship service, 7 p.m. on Sunday worship service. First Conservative Baptist Church is located at 12021 Old St. Augustine Road. That's exactly, precisely 1 mile south of I-295 right here on Old St. Augustine Road. We are looking forward to having you worship with us, ladies and gentlemen. It'd be our blessing and our joy to have you. We've got Dr. Phelps with us today. Dr. Neil Phelps is one of the professors in Conservative Theological University. He teaches theology, doctrine, and Bible courses. And I'm always delighted to have him join with us as we talk about spiritual things, biblical things, spiritual truth some each week. And I pray that you will join in this dialogue and discussion today. After my monologue, we'll be asking Dr. Phelps several questions in relationship to that place called heaven. Let me just give you a little idea of some of the questions in case you're wondering where we're going and what the broadcast will be like. Perhaps you'd like to pick up the telephone and call Susie or Sally or Johnny or James and ask them to tune in and join this dialogue and discussion today. We're going to be talking about some of the questions. What is the truth of heaven? What is the truth about heaven? What is heaven? Where is heaven located? Do good people go to heaven? Who is eligible for heaven? Why will some not like heaven? Who will be in heaven? When believers die, do they go immediately to heaven? Or is there a place called limbo or purgatory? What about that? Is heaven the final destination? How can I prepare? How can you prepare? How can you be prepared for that journey to that place called heaven? The home in heaven, that will be the journey that we all should look forward to. But that's some of the questions that we're going to ask, and Dr. Phelps and I will be bounding about the questions and the answers and the dialogue. You can jump in at any point during the course of this broadcast and ask any of the questions that you have in mind about the place called heaven. I think there are a lot of people that are confused, Dr. Phelps, about heaven. What is heaven? How will we get to heaven? What is that place like? Where will it be? And I've heard all kinds of things in the past 50, 55 years of ministry as people talk about heaven and have some unusual ideas about that place called heaven. Ladies and gentlemen, we live in a culture today that does not focus on life after death. Simply not thinking about tomorrow, not thinking about eternality. Simply thinking about today, getting by today, making a living today, getting the job done today, getting the kids in school today, and taking care of things that are so urgent today. And I find it antithetical to what real life is about for a human being. We need to make sure that our eternal destiny is prepared and ready. We're not ready to live until we're ready to die, as someone said a number of years ago. But ladies and gentlemen, the real answered. Where will you spend eternity? You ever thought about that? Just exactly where will you spend eternity? Every person, hear me, every person is created to live eternally. You hear that? Every human being is created by Holy God in the image of God, and we shall live eternally. Yes, we will one day die physically, but we will live eternally. That real me, that real you, that real spirit being, the internal me and the internal you, we will live for eternity. And I think most are not aware of that. We will spend eternity. And the survey, I've recently read a survey that I find fascinating because I wonder how it was worded to get the answer, that most Americans believe in heaven. That's the title of the survey. Most Americans believe in heaven. It's natural for people to want to things to turn out well in the end, but in life and apparently afterwards, roughly 7 in 10, that's about 72% of Americans, say that they believe in heaven, defined as a place where people who have led good lives will spend eternity and be rewarded. That's according to the Pew Research poll. 72% of Americans say they believe in heaven, and they say that it's a place where good people go when they've led good lives and will be rewarded eternally. That's according to the Pew Research poll. Ladies and gentlemen, I think that's probably correct because I have yet to talk with a person who asked the question, where are you going to spend eternity when you die? I've not had a person yet to say immediately, well, I'm going to hell, and laugh about it. Now, there may be those out there, but I've not met one that will simply say, when I die, I am fully expecting to go to hell. But ladies and gentlemen, you'll either go to heaven or hell. There's not but two places. Not but two places. Both are real. Both are eternal. Everything that's said about heaven being eternal also is said about the eternality of hell. Hell is a real place. Heaven is a real place. And may I say to you that everybody's not going to heaven. Dr. Phelps, a number of years ago, at the Southern Baptist Seminary in Louisville, Kentucky, this has been 20, 25 years ago now, maybe slightly longer. They had a female professor there, Dr. Green. And Dr. Green was a universalist. How she ever got her position with the school, I'll never know. But she said that a good God will never send anybody to heaven, that eventually every human being will stand in the very throne room of God for all of eternity. Now, I think that is a sad, sad scenario. By the way, she was finally fired. She had gained tenure, so in order to get rid of her, they had to write her a check for, I believe it was $157,000 and cancel the contract, shore the door, because she was destroying the lives of the future of preacher boys that were there learning how to preach and learning the scripture and going into churches. Can you imagine how many perhaps graduated under her theological dogma with a universalist background and teaching and go out and preach and teach that in the pulpits? And there are a lot of folks today, so many preach and teach that everybody, one day got die and go to heaven. Recently, Nancy Pelosi, perhaps you recall that, and I'm sure some of you do, that they were talking about Elijah Cummings and after his funeral. Nancy Pelosi said that Elijah Cummings is dancing with the angels in heaven. I just think, wow, is that reality? Is that reality? Dr. Phelps, I think, is a very serious need for us to talk about this subject today, about that place called heaven. Who will be in heaven? Who won't be in heaven? How do we get to heaven? How are we assured that we're going to heaven? And who will, that's a good thought, Dr. Phelps. The question that I believe we will talk about at one point or another, will everybody enjoy heaven? Will there be some people that may not like heaven? And if they don't like heaven, not looking forward to heaven, they won't be there. I believe we have a caller on the line. Go with your question or comment, please.
Yeah, hi, guys. I can get my head around the fact that we'll be living in heaven forever. That's easy to understand. But I can't understand somebody dying forever in hell. I can't get my head around that. Can you guys understand that? I know it's true, but it's hard to imagine.
Well, let me. I've got an answer. Dr. Phelps can respond also. But before I respond, let me ask you a little simple question. What is so difficult about grasping the reality of eternity in a place called hell?
No. I believe all that. I believe that in a trillion years from now, we could still be in heaven. But I have a hard time believing that somebody could be in hell. I believe they will be, but I just can't understand somebody being in hell for a trillion, trillion, trillion years without any chance of ever getting out of it. I mean, if there's one thing that God may have been wrong about, I wish it was that, but I know he's never wrong, but it's just a difficult concept.
Well, let me say this. Every place you find anything in relationship to heaven deals with it. It is an eternal place, an eternal state. So also with that place called hell. In fact, I'm holding in my hands a book that I had the privilege of researching, and writing and publishing some time back. It's called Please Don't Go to Hell. Subtitled is The Biblical Doctrine of Hell. And when you look at the biblical doctrine of hell, you understand that it is eternal. In fact, it's a real place. It has real flames. In fact, Luke chapter 16 is one of the key texts. It's a classic text dealing with hell. And here's the point. An individual has an opportunity to make a volitional choice. There are two places of eternity. That's heaven or hell. And the scripture says that God created hell for the devil and his angels, angelos, messengers. It's a place that God created, but it's a place he created for Satan and his angels. But because man, in fact, I had somebody on one occasion say, well, preacher, I just don't believe that God would send anybody to that place called hell. Well, he doesn't. You make the choice, the volitional choice, the decision yourself to go there. An individual makes the decision that I'm going to say yes to Jesus Christ and be obedient to the scripture, or I make the decision that I'm going to reject Christ, reject the word of God, reject the truth of heaven, and go to that place called hell. It is eternal. It is a place of fire and brimstone. Luke 16 talks about the rich man and Lazarus. Both of them died. One went to heaven, one went to hell. And the one in hell looked up and cried out that Lazarus might be able to be sent to just put a drop of water on his tongue because he is perishing in that place called hell and the flames that were leaking about him. May I remind us and may I say to you, yes, hell is real. And even, yes, I understand what you're saying, I think. It is an anguishing thought that a person will be in hell and can do nothing about it. That place called hell is a place of desperation. It's a place of darkness. It's a place of being eternally punished. It's a place where there's no quenching of the fire. It's a place where there's no hope, no help, nothing. Contrary-wise, and I don't know how they balance this now, the Pope said some time back that hell is not real. But yet they still preach and teach that place called purgatory, where a person can go, a place that's limbo, a place where a person can go. He's not really good enough to go to heaven, not bad enough to go to hell. So he goes to that place called purgatory until the priest is paid enough and prays enough that you can get your loved one out of that place called purgatory and releases him to go to that place called heaven. That's an absolute demonic lie. There's nothing in the scripture that validates that whatsoever, but it's very, very real. It's a place of debauchery, according to the scripture. It's a place that is in darkness and destitution and distress. It's a place of doom and death. It's a place of eternal damnation. That's what hell is. Dr. Phelps, you got an answer for that?
One of the scriptures we find in the scriptures, Matthew 25, 41, time of judgment. We were told Jesus will say to them on his left hand, and apparently those are the lost, those are those who are not prepared for heaven. Depart from me, you cursed, into everlasting fire. There's the word everlasting that's used there. But you see, hell is prepared for the devil and his angels, and those who follow him will follow him there.
Yes, absolutely. I hope that answered your question. I pray that your focus will be, and our focus should be on that place called heaven, that place called heaven. And we need to understand that it is a place that is a prepared place for a prepared people. Unless we're prepared for it, we will not go to that place called heaven. Thank you so much for your call today. It's a blessing to have you call in. In fact, Dr. Phelps, I'm reminded of that 14th chapter of John, the first three verses. Would you take a moment and read that for us? John chapter 14, verse 1, 2, and 3. I believe that sets the stage for what we want our listeners to understand today.
These are the words of Jesus, and he was talking with the disciples about a hope for things to come. He said in John 14, verse 1 and following, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And whither I go, you know, and the way you know."
It is a wonderful study in that, Dr. Phelps, and that may be one of the texts that you have in mind for us to talk about today. But by way of launching our understanding and getting into the dialogue and discussion on that, as I look at that text in John 14, especially 1, 2, and 3, unit of thought is 1 through 6, by the way. But you find it's a prepared place for a prepared people. An individual that says, "I've never thought about it, I've never made plans for it." Let me just use an analogy. If you're going to move from an apartment or a dwelling place, you're going to move to another place, you make preparation to make that move. You make preparations for the moving of your furniture. You make preparations for the your individual moving to that location. One day we're going to make a transition, Dr. Phelps. We're going to be moving from this place called Earth to that place called Heaven. And the only way we can be there is if we're prepared to be there. I find it interesting and sad about some of the beliefs about some denominations and religions. The members of the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Latter-day Saints, and let me just share this with our listeners before we have our in-depth dialogue and discussion about heaven today. Here's an article about the Mormons, the Latter-day Saints, and what they believe about heaven. It says, "Members of the Church of Jesus Christ of the Latter-day Saints believe that all people dwell with God before their life, and that every individual has the opportunity to dwell with God after this life in a state of eternal joy. The Latter-day Saints believe that our existence is analogous to a three-part play that consists of premortal existence, a mortal life on this earth of learning, testing, and growing, and then a postmortal existence as resurrected beings. Latter-day Saints teachings that they teaching the state that where we go after this life depends upon primarily upon the degree by which we accept and follow Jesus Christ." By the way, they serve a totally different Jesus, "as well as the desire of our hearts, how we translate those desires into works. In addition, our destination after this life depends upon whether we participate in the essential rites, R-I-T-E-S, like baptism, and aid us in the process of repentance, progression, and ultimate sanctification." Further, in this article giving their theological position, "all human beings inherit different circumstances. Latter-day Saints believe that as Jesus is as just and merciful as God will account for our varying degrees of knowledge and access to the truth. With this in mind, Latter-day Saints scripture teaches that all will eventually enjoy that place called heaven." And it, what they're saying is, ladies and gentlemen, and we're wanting to set the stage for what the Bible says is that place called heaven, and what the Bible says is required for us to get to heaven. But with the Mormons, the Latter-day Saints, is the philosophy and the thinking, the theology, if you want to call it that, that before we're ever born, we're in a little baby infant form in heaven. And that then as a result of a marriage and a preparation for a family, that God sends that little infant being through the womb of the mother. And then when that individual grows and works through life of doing good, carrying out good works, and then they die, then they will ultimately be translated back to heaven because of the good works. It is simply a work salvation. And Dr. Phelps, I think you and I both understand that that's not what the Bible says at all. Today you can ask a person, anyone, any place, anytime, "Where will you go when you die, heaven or hell?" And they're going to say, "I'm going to heaven." Yet it's sad today, I believe, ladies and gentlemen, that most think they will go to heaven simply because they're a good person, because they're Baptist, Methodist, Presbyterian, Catholic, or some other denomination, and they think that somehow, some way, those rites, rituals, rules, and regulations are going to get them to heaven. But, ladies and gentlemen, that's simply not the way a person gets to heaven. Dr. Phelps, let's just simply start our dialogue and discussion about this today. Ladies and gentlemen, let me remind you that telephone number is 831-0917, 831-0917. Dr. Phelps, tell us, what is the truth about heaven? What is the real truth about that place called heaven?
One of the things I want to suggest at this time, in response to the article you were just talking about, of some of the people who are in error about the truth and about heaven, is that those who will enter heaven are only believers.
Yes.
And in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, we have the truth about the second coming of Christ when the resurrection will occur. This is the first resurrection, the resurrection of life. And the Apostle Paul wrote some things in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 that I'd like to share. When Paul wrote these words in 1 Thessalonians 4:14, he says, "For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again," that's the gospel of Christ.
Yes.
We believe the truth about Christ and his first advent. We believe that Jesus died for us and rose again and lives today. Then we find that these words apply to them. So let me read a few verses. "For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord." It's not from an imagination. It's not from any other source, only through the word of the Lord. That's the word of truth. The truth teaches us the things about the rapture of the church, the resurrection, or the resurrection of life, is, if you prefer to call it that. "For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep." Now, those who are asleep are those of our family and our friends who have died in the faith. They have died as a Christian. Verse 16, "For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first." In other words, in Christ imply that we're talking about those who are prepared for heaven. "Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord.
Amen.
Wherefore, comfort one another with these words." And "with the Lord" means where Jesus is, will be where he is in heaven. So I believe that's one of the passages of Scripture that tells us that heaven is the final destination for believers.
Mm-hmm.
And so as we talk about that, I suggest that if you have a Bible, and you would turn to the Revelation, that chapter 21, we would do well to just learn what the Bible says about heaven.
That's Revelation, one of the best chapters in all, I call it the classic text in all the Bible.
Yes.
About heaven.
The Bible, you see, gives us hope for things to come.
Yes.
Many people do not have any hope for the future. They don't have any hope for things to come. They don't know what's ahead because they don't know the truth. And so when you read the Scriptures, this chapter is one of those places in the Revelation that's so clear and plain to us that heaven is part of God's new creation. There are seven new things that are talked about here. And if you're part of the new creation by being born again, having experienced a new birth, then you can be part of this place called heaven.
Absolutely. Ladies and gentlemen, we're going to take about a one-minute break at the top of the hour for our news. Don't turn your dial. Stay right in there. Hang in there. We'll be right back for the balance of this broadcast today. We're talking about the question, will all people go to heaven? Where is heaven? What is heaven? Join us. Don't turn the dial. Be right back in just 1 minute.
First Conservative Baptist Church and Conservative Theological University in Jacksonville, Florida. To learn more, visit conservative.edu.